Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
You're listening to your Messianic Christian music alternative, Eagle Wings Online Radio.
Shalom, Mishpacha. I'm so happy to announce another anointed narrated Eagle Wings podcast by Pastor Chris.
The Grace Series, Week 5, A New Beginning in Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16, King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God knows you and has a plan for you, a great and positive plan. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I am so excited about today. We are celebrating Jesus' resurrection with a great get-together here in church and with baptisms this morning. Within the month of March, we have been celebrating new life in God's grace, and now on the second Sunday of this month, April, we are going to exalt this even more and focus on the new life that Christ gives in him. God has given us a promise even from the time of Abram till now here with us and our newly baptized members. Here in South and Central Texas, we are starting to get used to nice green leaves, the smell of wildflowers, and fresh-cut green grass. The air is continuously filled with the sounds of people working outside, the sounds of animals in the fields, bleating lambs, cows, chirping birds, and with the smell of flowers and fresh-cut grass. It gives one of those happy feelings that make us just say that we can do it. People are plucking the wildflowers and their blooms on rose bushes and bringing this new life inside their houses. Windows are opened and life is embraced. It is new life after a period of death. This is what some people, lost people, just minimize with the words, the circle of life. But my dear friends, there is so much more to this than just the circle of life. Within the past weeks, this is what we have been looking at. Grace, mercy, faith, hope, love, and now today, new life in Christ. Our God is a wonderful, loving God. As the Holy Spirit gave us insight in the first week of March on God's love for us by having us look in the mirror and asking ourselves how we see ourselves. A question that has continuously been returning in the Sunday teachings and also in Wednesday Bible studies. Do we see ourselves through our own eyes and the eyes of the world with all kinds of negativity and low self-esteem? Or do we see ourselves through the eyes of the Holy Spirit that is in us? God has given mankind many chances to come closer to him and realize how wonderful life can be in a close relationship with him. All coming to a great climax of Christ's ascension to the right hand of the Father and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, on all believers. Those who are in close understanding and walk with him, and also those that are even denying that fresh breath of God, denying the Holy Spirit, denying that Comforter, denying the gifts that God, through that same Spirit, wants to share with us. Today we are going to see how God's promise to mankind, the exodus from Egypt, our salvation, and Christ's blood are all connected together to give us a future and hope. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, Amplified Bible. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. As we have heard in the previous weeks, man is created to commune with God. We were created so that we would know God. In the Garden of Eden, God came in the cool of the night and walked with Adam and Eve. They had fellowship together. In other words, God and Adam and Eve had communion together. God has always been and always will be seeking to be in communion with us, with you and me. Abraham is recognized as the father of faith, because when God spoke to Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, King James Version, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 to 7, New International Version, 1984. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land, to take possession of it. God started his covenant with Abram, as we can read, while he was still living in Ur of the Chaldeans, Genesis chapter 12. And he went to live with his uncle Haran until he was 75 years old. Then after he had left Haran, Lot, Abram's nephew, and Abram parted ways. And again, God promised in Genesis chapter 13, the land of Canaan to Abram and his descendants. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, we read that God's blessing, his favor, is extended. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, Amplified Bible. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. In Genesis chapter 15, we see that it was not just a promise, which of course, with God, is more than enough. No, it was made into a holy covenant, as we read in verse 6 of chapter 15. God was happy with Abram and counted him righteous. In verse 8, still, Abram wanted to see proof, so let us read. Genesis chapter 15, verses 8 to 14, Amplified Bible. But he, Abram, said, Lord God, by what shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said to him, Bring to me a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, and cut them down the middle into halves, and laid each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not divide. And when the birds of prey swooped down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was setting, a deep sleep overcame Abram, and a horror, a terror, a shuddering fear of great darkness assailed and oppressed him. And God said to Abram, Know positively that your descendants will be strangers dwelling as temporary residents in a land that is not theirs, Egypt, and they will be slaves there and will be afflicted and oppressed for 400 years. Fulfilled in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. But I will bring judgment on that nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. God executed a blood covenant with Abram. The animals were cut in half lengthwise and laid out on opposite sides. The birds were added to them. The blood of these animals mixed all up in the middle, and of course, birds of prey came to scent the blood. Moses was continuously fighting them off, but at last he fell asleep, and darkness took hold of him. I believe that this was the moment that Satan saw his time right to attack him. As the word says, terror and oppression, a depression got hold of him. As we all know now, those are feelings that come from Satan and are not the feelings given by God. Because of this, God told him that there would be oppression in the land that was not theirs, the land of Egypt. This is very important, and in this, we can already see how God's plan of salvation is being revealed. God came down from heaven, and where normally both partners of the covenant would go through the middle of the animals, would go through the blood. God went through as the oven, the fire that separates the chaff from the jewels, the fire that cleanses the silver and the gold, followed by the torch, which in our opinion is the substitute for Abram, the torch which is the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is the light of the world, the Word of God. Wow, praise the Lord, we know from the New Testament that that Word of God is Jesus Christ. In a blood covenant, both were walking through the blood touched both of them, they both became part of it. In the same way as we have heard about blood brothers, where the blood is mixed, becoming one. This shows that God's covenant cannot be broken, it is everlasting. Now, we jump forward to the oppression in Egypt. God called Moses in the fire of the burning bush, again the fire that cleanses but also consumes. However, it did not consume the bush, it consumed the preconceptions and sin of Moses. Many of us, Christians and Messianic Jews, have celebrated with our Hebrew brothers and sisters the Passover and the Seder. After Moses was going to Pharaoh so many times, God's final judgment would come down on the land of Egypt, not just on the Egyptians, but on the entire land, everybody and everything in it. God told Moses to have the Hebrews prepare a light meal and to put the blood of a lamb that was without blemish upon the doorpost. This doorpost is the entryway into the house, the access to the household. So to be able to enter in, you needed to walk in between and under through the blood. The angel of death would know that this was a house of the covenant. The blood was already there. It did not have to be shed at that place. And as promised, and as we have read, the Hebrews left Egypt with many riches, from their captivity, from their time of darkness, up to a brighter future, a new life, which was for them the promised land of Canaan. This event is being remembered at every Passover Seder and every Shabbat celebration. For us Christians, as we will see, it is mutually important. For the Jewish people, it reminds them how they are being brought out of captivity from Egypt into the freedom of the Promised Land. We as Christians have been led out of our captivity, our darkness, from a life without Christ, a life that leads to death, into a life that leads into the light, a light that leads into eternal life with Christ. With this thought, we observe the Shabbat and the saving grace of our salvation, paid for by Christ, given to us on the day of our salvation, the day that we committed ourselves to Jesus the Christ. With the lighting of the candles, we remember that moment when we were saved and received Jesus Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior. The Kiddush prayer over the wine grape juice reminds us of the blood of Jesus Christ that is shed for our salvation. The challah bread resembles for us not the manna that was given from heaven, but the abundance that the Lord gives to us each and every day. Thus the reason for the two loaves of challah, not one, but two loaves in abundance. The covering over this abundance by the Holy Spirit is resembled by the cover that we put over the bread. The Seder celebration and the Shabbat observance is a means to an end, not an end in itself. As the Lord Jesus taught us, Mark chapter 2, verse 27, King James Version, "And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." In other words, Shabbat is a gift of God to us, a time of rest and reflection, a joyful time set apart from the busy week when we can focus on what is really important in our lives. Christians are not obligated to observe Shabbat on Saturday. Nonetheless, we are invited to celebrate a holy day of separation each week. Romans chapter 14, verses 5 to 6. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Romans chapter 14, verses 5 to 6, Common English Bible. One person considers some days to be more sacred than others, while another person considers all days to be the same. Each person must have their own convictions. Someone who thinks that a day is sacred thinks that way for the Lord. Those who eat, eat for the Lord because they thank God. And those who don't eat for the Lord, and they thank the Lord too. This is a weaker brother issue. We are free to worship the Lord on any day of the week, but note well that we are to worship and to enjoy the principles of Shabbat, or rest in the Lord. If you perform a Shabbat home ceremony, please keep these matters firmly in mind. You are not affecting any sort of spiritual merit by performing rituals or acts of tradition, since the Lord Jesus is our Torah righteousness, our fulfillment of the first covenant before the Father. We are not made right with God through anything other than the shed blood of Jesus on the cross for our sins. Paul wrote to the Hebrews a magnificent letter in which the holy priesthood of Christ was explained, and in this also the fulfillment of the first and the start of the second covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 verses 6 to 13, Amplified Bible. But as it now is, he, Christ, has acquired a priestly ministry, which is as much superior and more excellent than the old, as the covenant, the agreement, of which he is the mediator, the arbiter, agent, is superior and more excellent, because it is enacted and rests upon more important, sublimer, higher, and nobler promises. For if that first covenant had been without defect, there would have been no room for another one or an attempt to institute another one. However, he finds fault with them, showing its inadequacy, when he says, "Behold, the days will come, says the Lord, when I will make and ratify a new covenant or agreement with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers on the day when I grasped them by the hand to help and relieve them and to lead them out from the land of Egypt. For they did not abide in my agreement with them, and so I withdrew my favor and disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their minds, even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it will never more be necessary for each one to teach his neighbor and his fellow citizen, or each one his brother, saying, know, perceive, have knowledge of, and get acquainted by experience with the Lord, for all will know me from the smallest to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful and gracious toward their sins, and I will remember their deeds of unrighteousness no more." When God speaks of a new covenant or agreement, he makes the first one obsolete, out of use. And what is obsolete, out of use and annulled because of age, is ripe for disappearance and to be dispensed with altogether. We need to be clear in this that when Paul wrote in verse 7, a covenant in defect, that this defect is not on God's part. God is without error. He knows how something starts and ends all at the same time. He finds fault with the partner in the covenant, which in this case is the Jewish people, the people of Israel and Judah. God has extended this covenant through his Son Jesus Christ, not just to the Jewish, but to all people. As it is with all of God's wisdom, this was also already foretold by the prophets, as in this word of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 to 8, Amplified Bible. Thus says God the Lord, he who created the heavens and stretched them forth, he who spread abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, he who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you, the Messiah, for a righteous purpose and in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and will keep you. I will give you for a covenant to the people Israel, for a light to the nations Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who sit in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. God has given Jesus Christ to make a clear wrong in people's lives right, to bring light into the darkness and salvation into the world, not just for the Jews nor just for the Gentiles, you and me as some are still believing, but for all who put their faith, their trust, their future in him, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, understand this wonderful message and are not able to hide it from others, because we are all one in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 11 to 22, New International Version, 1984. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Jesus Christ is that lamb being brought to the slaughter as the two sides were being spread out, sealing the first covenant. Jesus was spread out on the cross. The blood dripping from his head and body wounds, creating a pathway in the middle as the blood collected of the sacrificial animals. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the path that needs to be travelled in between the two parts of the covenant, the path that leads through the acceptance of his blood spilled for us." Jesus said earlier in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the door covered with his blood that holds off death and gives life instead. It is his blood that seals the relationship in that second covenant. It is his blood that protects us from a resurrection into eternal death. As the angel of death passed by the doors of the Hebrews that had placed the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts, in this same way the angel will pass by the door of your heart when you are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. When the posts of the door of your heart have been touched by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be able to go in and out into the green pastures of heaven instead of the burning pasture of the lake of fire. Jesus is the fulfillment of the first covenant and the seal of the covenant that God has with you. Without Jesus, there is no covenant. Without Jesus, there is no life. Without Jesus, there is only death. As from the days of old, God has a wonderful, full, and fulfilling plan for your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, King James Version. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Living a life for Christ has never been an easy thing to do, neither will it be in the future. But oh glory, my brothers and sisters, there is nothing so rewarding, there is nothing so fulfilling, there is nothing so wonderful as walking a life with Christ. Being filled with his Holy Spirit makes all worthwhile. Because of the cross, there is no condemnation for those who trust in him. Because of the stripes, the punishment he took, we are off the hook. Because of his resurrection, death has been conquered, and because of his ascension, we are not alone in this. Jesus has provided you and me with the loving breath of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the vessel between our spirit and God. People have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have shown their obedience to God's word in this and have been partakers in this death of the old self and the resurrection of the new, as Christ was resurrected out of that old cold grave. We have been resurrected by his covenant with us into a warm and new life, walking in the light of his love instead of the darkness of sin. In closing of this series on God's grace, mercy, faith, hope, love, and a new life in him, we will close as we have done in the previous weeks with verses of Psalm 84, with some play on the words. Psalm chapter 84, verses 1 to 5 and verse 12, Amplified Bible. How lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul yearns, yes, even pines, and is homesick for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out and sing for joy to the living God. Yes, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man whose trust and obedience is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man whose trust and obedience is in you, leaning and believing on you, committing all and confidently looking to you, and that without fear or misgiving. A beautiful picture. Birds have built nests. The valley filled with weeping is replaced by spring, new life. Walking in strength, from a personal high to a personal high, more and more secure, more and more confident. A daily walk in strength and renewal in Jesus Christ and God in His Holy Spirit. With Jesus as our Jehovah Nissi, our shield, our banner. Having the knowledge that we do not have to go through life without reason and alone. Having the faith that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Having received His mercy and His grace upon our lives, being washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Having faith of being in this life, as we will be in eternity, walking in the presence of our Lord and Savior, filled with His love and joy. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, because we are saved by grace and forgiven by His everlasting and enduring mercy. Having hope for a brighter day, knowing that God knows us by our name and that He has a plan for our lives. Filled with His love for us and through us to others. Set for a brighter future with Him, our Elohim, our Creator. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.